Hey everybody, good afternoon. Saturday edition of Weather Knots, and glad you're tuning in. We've been able to talk to some really interesting people this week, but we saved the most interesting for this Saturday, this final edition of Weather Knots. Jonathan Shannon is here with me from NOAA, and glad to have you.
Thank you, Mitch. I appreciate that.
I need to just say something up front. Jonathan and I have worked together for a few years, and he's making me laugh all the time. So I'm already kind of nervous about how this is going to go, but we'll see if I can get through it. Hey, I'm sure you'll be fine. Very serious guy.
The fun meter is pegged. Let's just ride the wave. It's just performance aircraft here.
So you're with NOAA, and tell us a little bit about your background.
Sure. So I'm with the NOAA Aircraft Operations Center. We're down in Lakeland, Florida. So we have the crewed aircraft based there. So we've got 10 different airframes, the P-3 Orion, the Gulfstream 4, King Airs, and Twin Otters. But we also have a division in our hangar, the Uncrewed Aircraft Division. So we support uncrewed aircraft systems and drone work across the NOAA enterprise. So that's one of the things we do down in Lakeland. So I'm happy to work with them as well.
What is your role exactly with them? What projects are you doing?
So I am our public affairs specialist, so I get to talk about the wonderful missions we do, both on the crewed and uncrewed side. So for our uncrewed aircraft systems, I'm very excited about some of the things we're doing in our Hurricane Hunters now. So we had some work through a small business innovation and research grant that we put out for two different companies that are working to develop drones that we can take in our P-3 into the hurricane. So we take an aircraft into a hurricane. That's not hard enough. So let's launch another aircraft from that aircraft into a hurricane and
with
get even more data. Yeah. So that secondary aircraft's a drone being controlled while we're flying through. So it's going to the parts of the storm that we can't go. So 1,000 feet and below into that boundary layer. Now, Mitch, I hear you are a meteorologist, sir.
That would be true. Boundary layer. Tough place to be in a hurricane.
It is.
Not ideal. Yeah.
That's where that energy is coming from, the warm, moist surface of the ocean, getting into the atmosphere and fueling that storm up. So
you're able to get a lot of information. Have you deployed these, and how long have they been deployed?
That's a good question, Mitch. So we did our first testing in 2021, and operationally, 2022 in Hurricane Ian was with the Altius 600 platform. We got in there, and we deployed it, and it was flying around for about 2.5 hours or so, gathering data for us. So getting really an atmospheric data movie as opposed to the pinpoint, you know, photographs we're getting with our drop zones. Right. So instead of just one, I guess, what would you call it, an atmospheric profile with their drops on? We're getting a horizontal sort of movie of that bubbling, churning area of the boundary layer and how that's developing. And that's going to hopefully help us with some of the intensity forecasts, understanding what causes storms to rapidly intensify to help us give more warning to the folks on the ground.
I'm curious. You said 2.5 hours that you had it up.
Mm-hmm.
Were you expecting that?
So that was one of the goals, right?
Yeah.
So earlier we'd been experimenting with uncrewed aircrafts or drones, and it was a Coyote platform that we were using, and that was only about 30 minutes, and then the transmission or the radio range for that was reduced. So it was basically we were taking a very high capability platform, the P-3, and babysitting, you know, a flying drop zone. So now that's why we went out with a grant to say, hey, smart people, Get us some drones that can
come on,
you know,
smart people.
Yeah. 2 hours or more inside a hurricane, giving us this stream of data. So that's what we're working on. We're working with another group called Black Swift, based out of Colorado as well. They've got an S0 drone that we launched operational last year in 2023. So we have Altius, and now we have Black Swift online, and these are all research platforms. So hopefully, eventually, we'll be able to get this data, you know, into the forecast model system as we work out the bugs.
How large are these UASs?
Geez, that's a good question, Mitch. Bigger than a bread box? No. So for the
bread box
depends on the size of the bread, right?
Right. Yeah.
Could be a baguette. It could be a loaf of bread.
Yeah.
So for the Altius, it's about a 3-foot wingspan, but they're folded up when they're in these tubes, and so basically we have these. Airborne expendable bathy thermographs. They're about 3 feet high.
Can you say that 3 times fast for us?
Airborne.
No.
Okay. Sorry. I was getting ready. Don't tempt me with good time, Mitch. So these things go down, and we've got them in these tubes. So that was part of the thing. We have what we call a free fall chute in the P3. So we were working off that sort of diameter measurement. Once they go out, they spread their wings and fly inside the storm. So about 3-foot wingspan, maybe 50-60 pounds for the Altius. For the S0, it's maybe about 2 feet and almost like 10-15 pounds. So it's much smaller, much more compact with the Black Swift.
Interesting. Do they what percentage of the hurricane are they able to canvas? I mean, are they able to get to cover the majority of it, or I'm curious about that too.
Well, in the time we have. So while they're flying, we drop them usually in the eye, the past ones we've dropped. There are some modules where they have us, on our inbound leg, dropping them before we get into the eye wall so that they can follow some of those feeder bands.
Into the eye.
Yeah, and see how that interaction of that moisture adds to the churn inside the storm. So they're looking at profiles where they're going up, say, 1,000 feet, down to 500, back up to 1,000 feet, doing those stair steps. They're looking at sawtooth patterns into the eye wall itself. So within that time, they'll
make it all the way around several times, or at least.
Yeah, it depends on the battery life. It depends on sort of what they're going, but they're always sort of going with the wind. So it's not like it doesn't have to be a really robust platform to struggle against, they're just dipping in, dipping out of that current and riding the wave, as it were.
Fascinating. You mentioned that it's more to get an idea of the horizontal, not the vertical, which when we think of drop sondes or balloon, weather balloons, it's to see the vertical slice. So what is it that you're able to gain from, you'd mentioned a little bit earlier about this, but what is the advantage to being able to have something that you're taking through horizontally through the storm?
Yeah, so they're just able to horizontally motor around and get, different areas. So there are different quadrants inside the hurricane, so different things are happening. The center of circulation isn't necessarily the center of the storm itself geographically. It may be tilted one side or the other. So being able to sample a wide area within the storm horizontally just helps them focus in on areas of interest. And then again, they are able to get the vertical with that sort of porpoising between different levels down there. And on them, we're working on infrared instruments to look at the sea surface temperature, as well as some altimeters to do significant wave height. So that's sort of a whole branch of data that we'd just like to see inside the storm. And that's just the uncrewed aircraft systems that we're working on with our NOAA Hurricane Hunters, which is sort of my Venn diagram sweet spot of job and interest with these uncrewed systems. But we're using them, helping to train fisheries biologists off our NOAA ships as they're doing marine mammal surveys, for example.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about what other projects you're using them on.
Yeah. So they're doing like photogrammetry, which is measuring things with photography, right, to figure out body and nutritive condition for southern resident killer whales and endangered species in Puget Sound or gray whales that are migrating up and down the West Coast. They're using them to help us count sea lions and seals on what we call rookery sites or haul-out sites.
Right.
So sort of missions that we've used our Twin Otter for in the past, but, it's a complementary aspect. So, their wind envelope or other launch conditions are a little bit easier to deal with than trying to get a Twin Otter there, for example. So they can launch them off the aircraft or a small boat and get really close in.
Is there an anticipation that, these devices, these drones, will replace some of your flight operations at some point? Or
I think it's all going to be complementary. Especially with the hurricane mission, you can't really get something with some sort of instruments. But for storm damage, for example, mm-hmm. We could do a wide swath with our King Air with the aerial imagery, but then they could have targeted more ideas of where to deploy the drones to get finer scale if they needed it. Tornado damage is one thing the weather forecast offices are using for with hyperspectral cameras. So not just visual damage of like houses, but looking at fields where, the plants exhibit stress in different spectrums. So you can see, a big tornado went through this cornfield, but you wouldn't know
because there multiple vertices. All kind of gives you an idea of the wind fields crossing over the field. Yeah, interesting. That's fascinating. Well, I appreciate you coming and tell us about this. And how long have you been coming up to AirVenture now? You're a seasoned pro.
I am a seasoned veteran. My first time was in 2019 when we brought Kermit, our P3, up. And so that was sort of a total red carpet experience, right? We flew in this beautiful aircraft. We got parked right on Boeing Plaza. I'm walking around in my blue flight suit, looking like an astronaut, feeling pretty good. And then we stayed by the aircraft and let everybody in.
Yeah.
Now, it was sweaty, but it was fun to see people's reaction as they got to walk through that unique aircraft. So,
cool.
But since then, I've been working at the International Federal Partnership Pavilion in Hangar D. So if you want to
plug,
come. Yeah, super plug.
Plug it up.
We still got a couple more days, and I've been rolling cloud charts. So I'm ready to hand those out as well.
If you want
to
learn about formed.
Yeah, if you want to learn more about weather and what NOAA does, or just talk to us about the NOAA or NOAA in general. I'm your guy.
Yeah, and a lot of people interested about the Hurricane Hunters. I mean, it's. I love it when people come up and just, in fact, just a little while ago, there was a gal that came up, tell me everything you can tell me about the Hurricane Hunters.
And then she pointed to me and said, that's
your guy. Well, you weren't there. The guy needs you to talk to, isn't he? He's at lunch. But I found someone else. And he was talking about
if you're listening, ma'am, please come back. I'll be there in about 15 minutes. I know the air show's starting. Yeah.
Dirty blonde hair.
But please come back.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, hey, thank you for joining me. I appreciate it. It's great to talk about this. For a lot of people, I'm sure, what is kind of a new horizon in what you guys are doing as far as with the hurricanes and your other research. So,
yeah, happy to be here, Mitch. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, appreciate it. All right, folks, we'll wind it up. We will see you next year.
Next year.
Ooh. Next year. I was going to say see you tomorrow. We're winding this up today. So it's been a pleasure hosting this year at Weather Knots, and we will see you next year. Take care.